WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Progressive Insurance.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. The U.S. House rejects a plan to keep the government funded. CBS's Stacey Lynn with the latest.
On this vote, the yeas are 202, the nays are 220. The bill is not passed.
Speaker Mike Johnson's six-month resolution failed.
I'm very disappointed that it didn't pass.
Sending lawmakers scrambling now for a backup plan with less than 2 weeks until a possible government shutdown.
We ran the play. It was the best play. It was the right one. And so now we go back to the playbook. We'll draw up another play, and we'll come up with a solution.
Stacey Lynn, CBS News, Washington.
Kentucky State Police are scheduled to hold a press conference within the hour. They say a body has been found in the area where five people were shot and wounded along I-75 in Laurel County nearly 2 weeks ago. Police have not confirmed whether it's the suspected shooter. A second judge refuses to grant bail to music mogul Sean Diddy Combs, citing concerns about possible witness tampering. Combs pleaded not guilty to sex trafficking charges. His attorney, Mark Agnifilo, says after today's appeal on the no bail order,
I told Mr. Combs I'm going to try and get his case to trial as quickly as possible. I'm going to try and minimize the amount of time he spends in very, very difficult and, I believe, inhumane housing conditions.
The Federal Reserve signals an end to its inflation fight with a sizable half-point rate cut. CBS's Jolene Kent reports.
This cut kicks off another cut or two come November, December. That might be an additional half-point. Then that's probably when you should probably be thinking about refinancing or getting back into the home.
The Fed move brings the federal funds rate to between 4.75% and 5%. Secretary of State Antony Blinken has been subpoenaed to appear next Tuesday before the House Committee over the U.S. withdrawal from Afghanistan in 2021. The House Foreign Affairs Committee says if Blinken fails to appear, the chairman will recommend the House find him in contempt of Congress. The White House is being pressed to respond to a second straight day of explosions in Lebanon that seem to have targeted Hezbollah. CBS's Linda Kenyon.
A lot of questions about the explosions, but not a lot of answers.
We were not involved in yesterday's incidents or today's in any way, and I don't have anything more to share.
White House National Security Council spokesman John Kirby.
That is the U.S. assessment that the Israelis were behind all this.
Nothing more to share.
But he did say this.
We want to see the war end. And everything we've been doing since the beginning has been designed to prevent the conflict from escalating.
This, as Israel's defense minister has declared, a new phase of the war. Linda Kenyon, CBS News, the White House.
This is CBS News.
Sponsored by Progressive Insurance. We offer auto, home, and commercial auto insurance, plus a variety of business insurance options. Visit progressive.com today.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News, I'm Derek Tritz. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Thursday is important for Wisconsin's hundreds of election clerks. It's the deadline to send absentee ballots to voters who have requested one. Plus, for municipalities that will be using ballot boxes, clerks can formally open them. The use of absentee ballots has surged since the start of the pandemic. You still have time to request one. After Thursday, once you request your absentee ballot, your clerk's office has 24 hours to mail it to you. Taylor Swift's endorsement of presidential candidate Kamala Harris may coincide with a 47.5% increase in Wisconsin voter registration. Taylor Swift endorsed Kamala Harris right after the presidential debate last week, Tuesday. Since then, Wisconsin voter registration has seen an increase of more than 1,300, according to Vote.org. There is no evidence that Taylor Swift directly influenced this number. And that's what you need to know. I'm Derek Tritz, and this is Civic Media News.
The Brewers' magic number is 1. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cusco with sports, filling in for Mike Clemens. Milwaukee lost 5-1 to the Phillies on Tuesday, but because the Chicago Cubs also lost, the Brewers need either a win or a Cubs loss on Wednesday to clinch the NL Central and a playoff spot. With the Cubs game likely done before the Brewers take the field against the Phillies, Milwaukee could know its playoff fate before first pitch tonight. The Green Bay Packers may be without Jordan Love for a second straight game due to an MCL sprain, but Coach Matt LaFleur is ready to go with Malik Willis, who he said is prepared if they need him again.
I think you have to kind of go through it. I think we're all learning each other, and you felt confident in terms of what he was able to show through the course of the week of practice, but ultimately just there's heightened anxiety, heightened pressure when you're in a real game situation. So I don't think you truly know until you get out there and kind of go through that process with him.
The Packers take on Tennessee this Sunday at noon. Filling in for Mike Clemens, I'm Jimmy Cuska with Civic Media Sports.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight, partly cloudy, a low in the low 60s. And mostly sunny for tomorrow, a high in the low 80s. Then a chance of showers and thunderstorms Thursday night into Friday. Muggy, high temps into the low 80s. Around 80 this weekend. It's 69 degrees right now.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Journal Sentinel sports guru J.R. Radcliffe joins us at 11:33. Weather and wine with Brittany Merlot at 11:50. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10. You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Courtney Cup, Hidney Cup, baby.
Because all the hippies are trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kadagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local, national, Native news and events. And as you know, Chujunk, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Yes, you are right, Dega. This segment of Native Roots Radio is presented in partnership with Little Moments Count. Little Moments Count is a statewide collaborative focused on helping parents and caregivers learn about the importance of brain development in the first 3 years of life.
Wow, right on. Hey, joining us are two members from the Dakota Language Nest, and I want to say a big peeny geegy thank you for coming on, and please introduce yourself.
Yes, you're welcome. Thank you for having us. My name is Wo'ugiewi. My English name is Katie Bendixson. I am Sistan Wapatin Dakota.
Shishogaduta Imakiapido. That's my Dakota name. English name is Joe Bendixson. I'm also a board member, advisory board member of the Dakota Language Nest.
Well, wow, welcome. And I know you two from the community, and it's really exciting to have you both on. And not only are you pioneers in the language and real leaders in the language, but real leaders in the community. So I want to just say a big peenigi having you both on tonight. Let's get started. I want you to tell me a little bit about the Lakota Language Nest and what ages of children do you teach, and where is this located?
Yeah, so the Dakota Language Nest, also known as Dakota Iapi Wahochbi, it's located at the University of Minnesota Early Childhood Development School Lab, and it's 921 17th Avenue Southeast in Minneapolis, Minnesota.
That's awesome. And I think I said Lakota, and I meant to say Dakota, and I apologize. When did the nest open?
So it opened in September 2022. We got funding from the Minnesota Indian Affairs Council to open the nest, and this is our third year now, and we're really excited that we can help teach the children the Dakota language.
That's exciting. How does early exposure to Dakota language support a child's culture and identity with a growth?
Yeah. Do you want to answer?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, so the children would be learning a second language in addition to English, typically. So learning a second language that early in their development really helps their growth and their language learning capacity, and also just helps them in general.
Yep.
Yeah, more than just learning one language when they're growing up. And Haley, yeah, and their identity shows, you know, it teaches them who they are. And also within the language, there's a lot to learn just from how we speak Dakota and our worldview. Therefore, they're getting that when they're learning their language.
Awesome. Hey, Haley, do you think you could take the next couple questions here? I got to jump off for just a second.
Sure. Yeah. I got my hot seat here.
Wow. Thank you so much, sure. You guys.
Well, thank you guys again for joining us. So I know a little bit about just Dakota language from a couple of my friends and community here. And it's really great, and we're grateful to partner with Little Moments Count to have great guests like you guys on. And teaching our youth is so important for our next generations. Yes. How does the Dakota Language Nest teach the Dakota language while also honoring your traditions of Dakota people?
Yeah, we are an immersion daycare. So the immersion nest is a place where there is no English spoken all day during the day for the children to be there. So we use a lot of visuals and gestures, and the context really helps the children to understand what's going on. Plus they're really young, and so they just naturally are really susceptible to understanding.
And to add to that, the also incorporate some of our cultural traditions, like, you know, singing, drum, smudge. You know, there's a lot of outside play and cultural objects in the in the language nest. So we try to incorporate as much of that into the curriculum as possible.
That's awesome. And I know you guys mentioned immersion kind of daycare program. This isn't really in our lineup of questions, but how old of students, like how old can students be to come to the Dakota Language Nest?
3 to 5 year olds.
Yeah. Okay. Awesome. Great. And this is just kind of a out there question too, with smudging. As a Ho-Chunk person such as I am, we like to use a lot of flat cedar. Do Dakota people use kind of different traditional medicines in their smudging?
We typically use pejihota, which is sage, and it's our native Minnesota sage that we prefer to use.
Awesome. That's awesome. And it's really important to kind of teach kids like the safety of smudging and the whole spiritual practice of it, and the mm-hmm. importance around that. So thank you for doing that with our young ones. How do you see the Dakota language revitalization movement as a response to the forced assimilation of the boarding school era?
Well, I think, you know, the boarding school era did a lot of damage to our language. And my parents didn't pass on the language to me because of that. And I think my partner, Wokingway, is the same way. And I think a lot of people our generation didn't get to grow up speaking our language. Mm-hmm. And so now we have to reverse that. And you teach it to the little ones. But as adults, too, we have the responsibility to learn, because who's going to teach the children? You know, we have to become the teachers. So we have to become speakers ourselves, so we can work in these daycare and other places, schools, and teach it. And then not only that too, but we have to use it at home. I think that's kind of one of the major things we try to hammer home with the parents is, hey, use this at home with your children, because you'll reinforce what they're learning at the school, at the language nest.
Yeah, good point. Yeah, it's kind of like everyone's responsibility to help carry that knowledge and that language up to our younger generations. I know we have like a minute until we go into our first break here. This last question quickly. Can you share any personal or community stories about how the boarding school era affected your own family's language and culture? I know you said that you didn't grow up learning that. Maybe we can touch on it after the break too, but.
Okay, yeah, sure. Well, my grandmother was in a boarding school in Rapid City, South Dakota. And when she finally was allowed to come back home, she got off the train, and when she spoke to her grandfather, she was speaking English, but he was only speaking Dakota, and she realized she couldn't understand him anymore. And so she made it kind of her goal to relearn her language. Unfortunately, because of the trauma she faced, she didn't teach her children, so I didn't learn, but now I'm making the effort to learn my language.
Oh, I like that. I love that you're doing that and incorporating that in your life now. It's kind of a similar story with me. You're listening to Native Roots Radio, and this is presented in partnership with Little Moments Count, and we're here with members from the Dakota Language Nest, and we'll be right back after this quick break.
When we heal from our traumas,
when we face our fears,
let go of our addictions,
when we relearn our values,
when we live our teachings,
respecting our elders,
cherishing and honoring our children,
when we honor and take care of our spirit,
there will be no room left for sexual violence.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Everyone likes a litter-free ride on Metro Transit buses and trains, so pitch in. Take pride in your ride and take your trash off with you when you get off at your stop. You'll find trash bins at every Metro station. Want to help clean up transit stops in your neighborhood? Join the hundreds who volunteer to adopt a stop and keep it picked up. Learn more at metrotransit.org/adopt-a-stop. That's metrotransit.org/adopt-a-stop.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
Would you let animals pick your insurance? Do you really need to experience mayhem to get the best rates? Or how about a celebrity quarterback or fake university saving you money? There's a lot of marketing stunts when it comes to insurance, but what you really need is someone looking out for you. Call Array Insurance, and they will work hard to find you the best insurance coverage and rates. So avoid gimmicks and call Cheryl at Array. 763-504-3067 or arrayinsurance.com. Array Insurance, working hard for you.
With all the convenient big box stores that sell appliances, why do so many Minnesotans choose Warner Stellion? Check online to learn that Warner Stellion is a Minnesota family-owned business for over 60 years. Warner Stellion sells more brands than anyone else, and our passionate specialists are committed to impressing you so much that you'll refer us to everyone you know. That's our mission here at Warner Stellion. Ask around, check us out online, and when it's your time to buy appliances, join over 300,000 Minnesota homeowners and choose the specialists, Warner Stellion.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio. This is Spirit from Reservation Dogs. Get up and listen.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of Native Roots Radio is presented in partnership with Little Moments Count. Nearly 80% of brain growth happens in the first 1,000 days, and small moments of interaction like talking, playing, reading, and singing can help create the pathway that build a child's brain during this early stage of life. For more information, you can visit littlemomentscount.org. It's producer Haley Cherry here on Native Roots Radio, and I'm joined by a couple members of the Dakota Language Nest here in Minnesota, and we're talking a little bit, touching on the last question before we went to break there. I don't know, could you guys introduce yourselves again in a good way? I really love hearing the Dakota language.
You go first.
Huh. Dakota, yeah. Wo'okewi amakiapie, washichu ia Katie Bendixon, amakiapie dama kota sisitua wachpetua hematahaye. My Dakota name is Wo'okewi, my washichu name is Katie Bendixon, and I am Dakota. I'm from Sisseton, Wahpeton, Oyate.
Dakota Chaje Makupi King, Shishokaluta, Emakiapido, the Makota, Betukin De, the Kodiapi Wahok, Bikin, Iwon Hakapi, on Yokbia Wahido.
Thank you. Pina Kiki, both of you for being here with me this evening. That last question we were touching on, I don't know if we got into hearing about your family member coming back from boarding school and not being able to understand other relatives. Are there any other personal or community stories about how the boarding school era affected your own family's language and culture?
Well, you know, one of the people I work with today, one of my older brothers, he was an adopted brother. He is from Canada. And he talks about how they would come and take the children away during the 60s scoop. And not a lot of people know about what the 60s scoop is, but I think you probably heard of it. And they would adopt the children into communities far away from their homelands. And that happened to a lot of his family members. And so they lost their language. Some of his own siblings can no longer speak. Or they do speak, but they have, not as much knowledge as him because he didn't end up going to boarding school.
Right. Well, thank you for sharing that. I know so many people in our community and maybe almost everyone that we run into kind of has similar stories like that. Mm-hmm. Moving on. What's the connection between the Dakota Language Nest, the University of Minnesota, and the Dakota homelands?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, the University of Minnesota is a land grant institution. So, that was unceded Dakota land. And so they have a responsibility to help with the Dakota language. And working with the Child Lab Development School, the person we work with, her name is Sheila Williams Ridge. She's been amazing. She's been a full supporter of what we're doing. She's been to other places to see language nests, like Hawaii for one, and then, you know, has helped us develop this language nest. And I think Dakota language also has a Dakota language major, the first Dakota language major in the country. I used to teach at the Dakota language at the University of Minnesota for 14 years. I recently left to become editor of the Dakota Language Dictionary. And now I think there's a strong partnership because now some of the students who are in the Dakota language program can become student teachers at the Language Nest and put the things they learn in the classroom into practical use right away at the Language Nest.
Okay, great. Thank you. I know you mentioned a little bit on kind of like the dictionary. Can you share more about your work specifically on the Dakota Language Dictionary app and how it's helping preserve the language for future generations?
Oh, yeah. So right now I'm in the middle of an expansion of the dictionary. So we've already released it in 2023. And so we're adding example sentences and we're also going to conjugate the verbs, and so then the students will be able to see a full conjugation of all the verbs and example sentences to see how the words are used. And also I'm recording elders, when I do these recordings, I find words that are not in the dictionary, and then we can add those to the dictionary. So we're trying to do as much as we can to preserve as many words as possible because we know once the elders are gone, they will take the language with them.
Yeah, really, really good points. I know I kind of rely on our Ho-Chunk language dictionary a lot. I don't know why I should. There are language classes out there, but I rely on the language app a lot because I have my phone on me all the time, and it's easy to just pull it up. And what I find really great about our language app is that they have recordings of elder female speaking the word or the language, and then an example of an elder male kind of speaking it. So you can hear both ways and how it's pronounced. And I really appreciated that. How does the Dakota Language Nest make sure that all families can participate regardless of income?
There's scholarships available there, and the price in general is it's not too bad generally.
Yeah, I think per month it's like $620 maybe.
Yeah, okay. So it's well priced.
Okay, where, how do people, how many people do, would you say, like guesstimating, would receive a scholarship for like
everyone gets the scholarship, so they all pay the same price.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty affordable because most daycares cost over $1,000 a month.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really important that it's inclusive to all of our relatives. So thank you for having that. What resources or tools does the Dakota Language Nest provide to help parents continue learning the language at home?
There's a weekly class specifically for the parents that they go in, and also we kind of encourage the parents to go to it. It's not required, but we highly encourage the parents to attend those classes.
Mm-hmm. Then they send out a weekly lesson plan, which details all the language that the kids are learning that week. Also, an organization I work for, we have free classes for the community, and we encourage all the parents to sign up for those. But there's also a free class at the Minneapolis American Indian Center and other places that offer the language. And we always tell them you should sign up for these classes because you'll be learning the language alongside your children.
Oh, I like that. So you kind of offer like in-house resources as well as other community resources that can be available to them. That's really cool. I spent some time teaching in different Montessori schools. And as a lead teacher, which I know one of you are in the classroom quite a bit, this question is directed kind of towards you. And I know you do some art teaching as well. You blend your art with teaching the Dakota language. How do you use the art to make language learning more accessible and engaging, especially for children who are ages 3 to 5 years old?
I'm an illustrator. I illustrate children's books, specifically Dakota language children's books. I have one that's been published. It's a counting book. It's a math book for early learners. It's a monolingual book, and I have others that I'm working on as well. That book can be found at www.dakota.org.
Awesome. What's the title of that one?
It's What's for Lunch.
Amazing.
I'll definitely have to check that out.
Yeah.
can you tell us about the mural project at the Dakota Language? I know we just have a couple minutes until we wrap up, but this mural project at the Language Nest, how does that reflect your connection to language and culture?
Right. I'm working on a mural at the early childhood development lab school. It's in a common area in the hallway, and it depicts a multi-generational family speaking Dakota. And the subject is talking about a winter count. And it's talking about, and in the winter count, it's about the Dakota language nest and the Dakota language and the future of it.
Awesome. Well, thank you guys so
much. You're listening to the Shaw WAUK, Waukesha's home for Up North News Radio. CBS News Brief. 12 days after five people were shot and wounded along I-75 in southeastern Kentucky, state police are set to hold a press conference shortly. They say they found a body in the area near the shootings. The House rejects a plan to keep the government funded and avert a partial shutdown on October 1st. A continuing resolution failed with a 202 to 220 vote. Speaker Mike Johnson says that the failure to pass was a disappointment.
What the SAVE Act would have accomplished, as everyone knows, is to ensure that illegals and non-citizens cannot vote in the upcoming election.
A second judge refuses to grant bail to rapper Sean Diddy Combs, the music mogul who has pleaded not guilty to sex trafficking charges, so he will stay behind bars pending his trial. Combs attorney Mark Agnifilo.
He's ready. He's focused. He has been ready to defend this case since he first found out about this case. Nothing has changed from his perspective.
CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News, I'm Derek Tritz. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. More than two dozen people are hurt after an accident at an apple orchard. It happened in Chippewa Falls Wednesday during a school trip. The Chippewa County Sheriff says two tractor-pulled hay wagons crashed into each other. People have anywhere from minor to serious injuries, with at least three of them having life-threatening injuries. An air quality alert for some parts of the state. 13 southern Wisconsin counties have air deemed unhealthy for certain groups Wednesday night. That means people with asthma, heart issues, kids, and the elderly may have a tougher time breathing if they're outside for too long. If you live in the southern part of the state, you may have noticed that haze. We have had lots of these advisories last summer because of the wildfires in Canada. And that's what you need to know. I'm Derek Tritz, and this is Civic Media News.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Wouldn't it be insulting to find out that your friends are swingers and that you've never been invited to one of their parties? Host of the Armchair Expert podcast, Dax Shepard, says those are the kind of texts he got when tabloids reported that he and his wife, Kristen Bell, were Hollywood swingers. Shepard told Drew Barrymore on her talk show that his friends were hurt that they were not invited to the parties. The joke is sort of on them, though, because now Shepard knows who all of his swinger friends are. Bong Joon-ho is directing Mickey 17, his first film since his Oscar-winning Parasite. Warner Brothers released a trailer of the film that stars Robert Pattinson, Toni Collette, and Mark Ruffalo. Pattinson plays a man whose boss imposes the task of dying for a living on him. Joon-ho's Parasite won six Oscars in 2020. Pattinson will also appear in The Batman Part 2, which is scheduled for an October 2026 release. Mickey 17 is currently in post-production and scheduled for a July 31, 2025 release. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight, partly cloudy, a low in the low 60s. And mostly sunny for tomorrow, a high in the low 80s. Then a chance of showers and thunderstorms Thursday night into Friday. Muggy, high temps into the low 80s. Around 80 this weekend. It's 69 degrees right now.
I thought I had to quit opioids all on my own. But my doctor set me straight. They told me opioid use disorder is a chronic health condition, just like heart disease or diabetes, that you don't manage with willpower alone. So now I take medications that work to curb the cravings, and when combined with therapy, help me manage my health. I've learned that opioid recovery is possible with courage, support, and meds. Find out how medications can help you too at doseofrealitywi.gov.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, it's Thursday, so we make our popcorn pick of the week, and David Desimone, director of the Black Point Estate in Lake Geneva, joins the show to talk about Victorian spiritualism.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Penitentiary, and I'm listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
Hey, everybody, this is Wendy Pilot. I am standing in right now for Robert. He just had to step out for a minute, but he will be back momentarily.
Thanks,
I'm here,
Wendy,
with our producer, Haley Cherry. And I think what we're waiting for is for Bob Blake from Red Lake. He is the owner of Solar Bear, and he brings what's going on solar in Native land. And he talks a lot about climate change and what we can do to help our environment. How are you doing tonight, Haley?
I'm good. Thanks for hopping on, Wendy. Really appreciate it. And yeah, you got a good bio for Bob Blake from Red Lake there.
Yeah. So I was getting ready. I'm leaving shortly here to the airport, heading out for a visit to my family in New York. My little great nephew is in the hospital right now. Yeah, he had 106.8.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, so he's in the hospital. He is stable. He's doing okay. They're giving him fluids. They're getting his fever down, and hopefully everything will be okay. He is stable, so we're really happy about that. But, you know, not only do I have to pack for myself, I have to pack for Wanda also. Oh, I see.
Oh, yeah.
Blake is here. Welcome, Bob. Hey, how are you? Say, I'm really sorry. Robert had to hop off just for a sec. He will be back on. Oh, here he is. Okay.
Hey,
I will hand it off to Robert.
Hey, check it out, everyone. I am wearing the Minnesota Vikings horn helmet because they are playing the Houston Texans this week. And they both have the horns, right? They both have the horns.
Yes.
But when you play the Minnesota Vikings and you mess with the Vikings, you get the horns, everybody.
Wow. You got to get some applause. Hey, before we move on here, I just got to give a quick shout out to the producer, Haley, who I always thought that she should have her own show, and she just proved it. And I know you're under the weather, too. Sorry, I had some business I had to take care of. And
that's totally Bob, okay.
It's just amazing to have a producer like Haley Cherry.
Mm-hmm.
Bob.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks, Bob.
Oh,
Bob, you're supposed to agree.
Hey. Hey. Listen, hay's for horses, sometimes cows. Pigs don't eat it because they don't know how. I absolutely agree. Miss Haley, you are the one. You are the one that keeps the wheels moving. And you know, incidentally, nice segue, Kaylee, into wheels, because there is a story out now that is confirming that by 2028, they're talking about that we're gonna have, you know, almost a complete shift towards electric vehicles and charging stations. Now, I'm kind of thinking to myself that that's a little ambitious here, but looking at all of the investments that is happening, especially around the world, I hate to say this, everyone, but I think the engine combustion vehicle is on its way out, and this is good, everyone, because fossil fuels is obviously contributing to our greenhouse gases and contributing to climate change. This may not be the ultimate answer for our transportation, but I think it's a nice option in a sense that people are still able to, you know, be in love with their vehicle, because we are a car culture. We love our vehicles. But at the same time, though, I think it's also an opportunity for us to lower our carbon footprint. And many, many years ago, this is not all of your fault. This is public planning part. But they built suburbs, and the city planners planned out all of this. And it was all around people being in their vehicles. So at that point in time, we didn't have all the information that we have now. But now that we do have the information we have now, I think this is a great thing that's happening, where, you know, we're moving in this direction. I believe Norway is like almost to 100% conversion to electric vehicles. That's ridiculous.
Wow.
You know, the Norwegian states, and incidentally, everybody, you know, the weather there gets down to like, I want to say like, you know, 20 degrees below or something, you know, it's mm-hmm. almost similar to the, like the, you know, the weather we have here in Minnesota. So for folks to some folks to say that electric vehicles don't work great in the wintertime, I beg to differ and ask the Norwegians, because they seem to be doing just fine over there.
We ask the Norwegians a lot of stuff here in Minnesota.
We do ask them.
So I thought that was a good point there. Yeah, well, Robert, it's amazing what's happening here, and things can happen really quick politically. And if we have, you know, the progressive vote and pushing people more progressive into this, I think how they're doing it right now, the Biden administration slowly eking our fossil fuels away from us and giving support to renewable is where it's at. And it's been a process already.
Well, you know, Robert, great story here in the Energy News Network today about the federal incentives that are spurring solar panel company for onshoring its supply chain in Minnesota. And that's Hayline Solar Factory. And of course, Native Sun and Solar Bear has a wonderful relationship with Hayline. Everyone, you're going to hear it first right now, but Solar Bear is in conversations around battery manufacturing right now. So
yeah,
this is going to be really, really exciting. I am super stoked about it. But there's another great article that is in Energy News Network today about clean energy law that's funding and fueling Michigan jobs and economic growth, a new study finds. So, you know, just you know, this is really something that's creating jobs, creating opportunities. Small businesses are spurring. I just did a press conference today for the DFL, you know, in support of the Affordable Care Act. I don't think about small businesses and the healthcare that we do provide our employees. One of my employees, actually, Robert, went part-time, and I am still giving this employee their stipend for their healthcare, because that's how valuable I believe this employee is to our organization. And I will continue to make that investment into Solar Bear, and Native Sun will continue to make those investments into our employees. So, you know, those are things I think that, you know, people don't hear about in the press, how small businesses and organizations are filling those gaps. We're the closest to the problem. So we know exactly what to do. You know, because corporations and government are kind of big sometimes, and they don't really understand what's happening down in the cracks, you know, but this is where we work at. And you know, it's important to be able to give these folks and these people affordable health care.
Absolutely. And we're a few steps away. Hopefully, when we get Kamala in and we get really the trifecta across the country, is to get start talking universal health care again. Because that's a game changer, and a game changer of sorts, where you aren't, you know, a slave to where you have to work because you have good health care. Everyone should have it. And it's, well, you know, Haley's generation will look back at this and go, what were they thinking all those years? Why weren't they for the people?
Right. Well, you know, Senator Aaron Murphy spoke on, you know, a lot of states, you know, how we're all kind of doing different things, but I think we're all kind of like borrowing from each other and taking those ideas and implementing into our own program. And there's a level that we have to request from a federal side on our healthcare, and Minnesota is moving in that direction. So she spoke very eloquently on that today at the press conference. And of course she's a nurse, right? She's a nurse, but so she knows so much about it, but you know, I just thought that was really interesting, and it was really cool to know that Minnesota is you know, moving forward and trying to make sure that you know, let's be honest, that this stays in place, because unfortunately, Robert, in this 2025 agenda by the Trump folks, you know, the MAGA nation, they're going to gut this, and folks will be without health care. And so that's why it's really important for everyone to get out and vote this election, to be able to support small businesses and organizations that do this great work in our communities. And this is a wonderful way to do it. And so that's what the press conference was about today, Robert. And yeah. I was just there and I was excited to be a part of those kinds of things.
We love State Senator Erin Murphy here on there. She's our representative here in where we live. And I know she is on it, very intelligent, and will be one of those people that really help us figure out next steps. So we got a couple more minutes here, Bob. What else do you got here? Solar Bear with the solar news with the Viking cap.
Yeah, so the St. Paul, Minnesota Habitat for Humanity Project will offer affordable housing without fossil fuels. So this is the net zero community over on the east side of St. Paul. Everyone, I am working on the Turtle Island Sustainability Campus. Bob Blake might get this building. So we'll see. We're working on it. You've heard it here first. You always hear it here first on Native Earth Radio Network. But, you know, Robert, really trying to put together the Turtle Island Sustainability Campus and you know, it's going to be a big turtle, and it's going to have a turtle solar array on top, and we're going to do research, and we're going to do support for tribes and really job workforce development, all kinds of cool stuff there. So it'll be a research center. Yeah, so really trying to make that happen. But that was in the Energy News Network this week, and rather a lot of good articles in there right now talking about all the good stuff happening here in the Midwest.
Wow, the things that you've been working on all these years are coming to fruition, and it's so exciting to see that. When you just gave that little bit there, I just thought about all the great ideas 10, 11, 12 years ago you had, and they're all coming around, and it's a beautiful thing. And now your Vikings hat is glowing, which is awesome.
Yeah, Robert, I can't believe it, Robert. I feel so blessed. And, Robert, I especially thank you for your friendship. And for you allowing my voice to be out there and be heard, because like nobody wanted to talk climate change back then. Nobody wanted to talk about what was happening. And you allowed the solar news for the Solar Bear to come out. And you were just, we'll never forget that, Robert.
Yeah, well, we've had a lot of things, and you're helping nations all across Turtle Island, not only your own. And you're the real deal, and we really appreciate your input and insight and all your stories. And I just want to say a big peeny geegy, Bob. Thanks a lot. Is that the Solar Bear with the solar news?
That is the Solar Bear with the solar news.
Kind of sang there. That was pretty cool. Hey, Haley, what's up next? Because, you know, you, as you can see me, I'm, help me.
It's Wendy. Wendy's got a new sacred animal segment, so stay with us.
A big peeny geegy there, Haley. Thank you so much. Hey, Bob, thank you. We'll be right back. This is Native Roots Radio.
Some people won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is often laced into illicit drugs and used to make fake versions of prescription pills. You can't see it, taste it, or smell it. Suppliers mix fentanyl into their products because it's potent and cheap, and the dealer might not even know. Keep yourself and others safe by knowing the real deal on fentanyl. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
Hi, it's Robert Pilot from Native Roots Radio. If you need new windows for your home or business, I highly recommend 952 Windows. They offer windows and doors with the longest warranties and Energy Star's number one most efficient ratings. I can personally vouch for them, having known the owner for decades. They did a fantastic job on our second floor addition 20 years ago, installing windows, roofing, siding, and even adding a master bedroom and bathroom. 952 Windows is part of Loyal Home, founded by some of the Ethics Award-winning former Window Light employees. In my opinion, they're one of the most best-kept secrets in remodeling. As Onyx Bath and Rosebud Cabinet Dealers, 952 Windows guarantees top-quality products. Most of their business comes from referrals, so much so that they have been called the best-kept secret in remodeling by their competitors. For unbeatable deals and trusted service on windows, doors, roofing, siding, kitchens, bathrooms, and more, call 952 Windows or visit 952windows.com.
Aneen, I'm Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
How?
And here's Wendy with the new sacred animals.
Thank you, Robert. Thank you, Haley. Hey, everybody. My name is Hanaji Hihani. That means cares for them. I was given that name by my Dagger Curtis. Curtis goes by Mashke Hanajinga, which means walks on white clouds. I'm a humane policy volunteer leader for the Humane Society of the United States, and I work on animal issues at the local and state level, and it's always my pleasure to do that. A couple of things. I will be traveling today on the plane, and Wanda, our 14-year-old Shih Tzu, who was a rescue, will be joining me. Wanda, this will probably be your sixth flight, maybe eighth. But she really loves the airport. I'm going to go soon to go get her carrier out, and she has to be on this nice, soft little carrier that she goes into that can go under the seat in front of me in the plane. But as soon as I take that carrier out, it's so funny, like she knows that we're going somewhere. So she gets really excited. We get to the airport. I have to keep her in the carrier, although I do sometimes unzip the top and she pops her little head out. But it's really cute because if you could imagine, I have a piece of luggage with four wheels on it that I wheel, and Wanda's carrier goes over the handle of my luggage, so she sits on top of my luggage. So I just like wheel her around the airport, and it's really cute, especially when I have the little top open and she pops her little head out. So there she is, you know, wheeling her through the airport, and like people are like pointing at her and looking at her, and a lot of people will come over and say, you know, can I pet your dog? But it's kind of a pain in the neck to travel because I have to get on a different line and I have to buy her a ticket. Like I have to get her ticket, and they have to check her out and they say, can I see your dog? Because they need to know that I do have a dog in that carrier. And then she does come out of the carrier when we go through security. So I hold her and her carrier goes through the x-ray machine, and then her and I walk through the security and get through to the other side. And then she's really good. I do have to give her some medication to relax her, and I bring her treats and she has water and she's all set. So I'll be traveling with her later tonight, and I'm really excited about doing the trip. And she's always been pretty good. Sometimes, like when we are taking off or landing, I know like my ears pop and they bother me a little bit. So, you know, I just pinch my nose and pop my ears. But Wanda, of course, can't do that. But I do believe that the pressure does bother her, because during those times of, ascending and descending, she is scratching inside the carrier. So what I'll do is I'll feed her treats during that time, so that it might help her, you know, the chewing, like if you chew gum or something, it's supposed to help you. Yeah. Anyway, so you guys, I wanted to tell you a little bit about the Humane Society of the United States. A lot of people ask me questions about, so what kind of work do you do? What kind of things do you get involved with? A lot of people will ask me, oh, I want to adopt a small dog. Do you have any? So people think that being a humane policy volunteer leader for the Humane Society of the United States, I know it's a mouthful, but we do not adopt out any dogs and cats at all. What we do is we work on policies. So we work on laws and ordinances. We get involved in local politics to try to get laws changed. A lot of times I am at the Capitol and I am speaking to my city council member, my House representative, my senator about some humane laws that we want to have passed in Minnesota and in just St. Paul. Sometimes it's very local. So we'll just work on stuff that's local. Excuse me. And it's a lot of fun. If anybody is out there who wants to get involved with the Humane Society of the United States and do that type of work, it's really very rewarding when you get an ordinance passed or a law passes and it helps animals in your state. It really is. And the Humane Society of the United States has humane policy volunteer leaders throughout the whole United States. So you could get involved with wherever you live. I'm sure that there's someone there who's the director. And they guide you on what kind of issues are happening, what we need to be working on, which, you know, if it's your city council member or your House representative or your senator who will be helping you with this. And it's really a lot of fun. You get to know who's representing you, and you get involved politically, which we all know is really important, especially in today's atmosphere, right? It's very important to be politically involved. You know, I hear a lot of people, they'll just say, oh, I can't be bothered. I'm not into politics. I can't, you know, get into that. It's just too much. And I mean, I think I felt like that years ago. And I think as I got older, I just realized what an impact, you know, electing a specific city council member, you know, to fill a seat there and how it affects your city and just things that happen, right? So it's really important to get involved with that. But that's really what we do. I mean, the Humane Society of the United States does get involved with local animal shelters when there's a disaster, right? When there's a hurricane, a tornado, and they are called in to help. So the Humane Society of the United States just doesn't go anywhere there's a disaster. They need to be called in. So like a specific state would have a disaster, a flood. They don't have enough resources. They can't handle everything. And then they call in the Humane Society of the United States, who has equipment. They have vans, they have mobile veterinarian, you know, with veterinarians and vet techs on in their vans where they can go. And then they work with local shelters in the area to get the dogs and cats that are already in that shelter, transport them elsewhere, somewhere safe, so that shelter is now available for the animals that are in the local area that are needed. So they do that quite often. You know, a lot of people will be like, oh, I only give money to my local shelter. Yes, absolutely. Your local shelter, local people need you know, money to just, you know, do the day-to-day business, absolutely. But it is also important to give money to the Humane Society of the United States, only because they do have these big vans. They do have, you know, they need money to do all this stuff, for traveling, for, you know, getting the animals where they need to be. But it's really been a lot of fun. I've been doing it for quite a few years now. You're not busy all the time. You kind of could just, you know, work on things that are important to you. Let other people work on things that you're less likely to be involved with. And you all work together. And you just create a more humane place where you live. So if that's something that you're interested in, you could email Native Roots Radio, and I could tell you how to get involved if that's what you're interested in. And it's always been a lot of fun. And I'm looking forward to working on a lot of good things this legislative session. And I'll let you know what it is. So,
The Shaw, WAUK. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. We'll be live on location from Cheese Days in Monroe. We will bring you all the action, yodelers, and more. Be here.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
I carry hope.
I carry hope.
I carry hope because I carry Naloxone, and you can too. Naloxone is an easy-to-use medication.
that can safely reverse an opioid overdose. And it's available across Wisconsin without a prescription.
So join us and be a source of hope in your community. Find naloxone near you at doseofrealitywi.gov. Brought to you by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services and the Wisconsin Department of Justice.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network. You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.